Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
There are those of us in the room that as like the stay-at-home order hit and you got into it, you're just like, I'm kind of liking this. This is kind of nice. It's just like slow, you know. I don't have to, you know, I'm working from home or kids are around. I'm really liking the kids around or whatever. And you're just like, I'm kind of liking this slow stay-at-home order thing and being at home. Any of us in the house, would apply to you? Any, like, I like the slowness of the season that we're in. Some of you are like, ah, that's me. Others of us are maybe like, you know what? I felt like a pinned up tiger, not being able to go and do what I normally do. I mean, you're just like pacing, you're just like agitated, right? And you felt a little bit of little angst within you during that season. Anyone at all would say, that's kind of me, all right? I identify with that, you know. But and then there are those that you would say, you know what, I was more busy during the stay-at-home thing than I was before or I am after. And you're just like, if anyone tells me that they enjoyed the break, I'm just going to go the spirit of slap all over that person, because it was crazy. I mean, you know, maybe that felt like that, you identify with that and you're like, what break? I mean, it was crazy, everything that we experienced. So obviously we know this, that there's a lot going on right now, right? In our culture, in our country, in life, globally, there's a lot going on. And I think it's so important that we just celebrate. I know the announcement video just talked about last Thursday or this past Thursday, what was accomplished with 800 boxes of food distributed to our community and to our sister church, First Church of God in Christ, and then Christa Vida, Viva, down on 21st Street, a Latin America church. And so it was so awesome to be able to do that. And we, you know, as the day started winding down, we had a lot of boxes left. And so we started loading up and taking them over to the apartment complex on the other side of the park and just interacting with people. And man, it was just so fun. And you guys did an incredible job helping and making that happen. And let me just share with you a text from Pastor Don from First Church. He said this, all right? This came Thursday night, about 9 o'clock. He said, today was a tremendous day. You and your congregation touched the heart of First Church. Our head trustee was so impressed with the produce boxes that were wonderfully made, and he said that we have to do a joint fellowship service with your church. Just what I wanted to hear, and I had nothing to do with it. And so God, and then he says, God is doing something in the hearts of the people, and he goes on and says several different things, just celebrating that what occurred Thursday, and Pastor Don will be with us here in a couple weeks, and he's going to preach, and he's just a great brother. If you're like, well, what's the big deal about First Church? First Church is a predominantly black church down off of 13th Street, and we've developing this relationship with them, and it's going to be fun. But isn't it cool to see God working? God doing things, man. I mean, that's worth celebrating, and we know that he is, and sometimes in the midst of everything going on around us, you can lose sight of that. And, you know, just I hear from life group leaders and people that are involved in life groups and just the connections that those groups are having and doing life together. And I'm, like, super pumped for 2 weeks from tonight where we'll be gathering together for a monthly prayer time. It's been a while since we've had those. But just to know that, hey, God is moving. Things are happening, and we get the privilege of joining with God and being able to walk this thing out together. Sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes it's tiring. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight, but God is good. So as we come to today's passage, I think it's a really timely message. I think it's very practical and something that you're going to be able to, hopefully every Sunday you feel this way, but today you're going to be able to walk out of here going, okay, I have something that I get to live out and apply to my life. And so really it's an extension from the message 2 weeks ago where we talked and we looked at Jesus being offering new wine and that we need to be a new wineskin and be flexible and pliable, because with Jesus, it's a relationship. With Jesus, it's about life. With Jesus, it's about done. Where with religion, it's due and it's a scorecard and it's burdensome and it's heavy. And the Gospel of Matthew, as we come to Mark chapter 2, if you have your Bibles this morning, go to Mark chapter 2. But in Matthew's account of a parallel passage of Scripture, he really sets it up in chapter 11, verse 28, when he's dealing with this burden of religion and this burden of the Pharisees and the religious structure that was so prominent in the day of Jesus. And Matthew says this as he's quoting Jesus in verse 28. This is a life passage of mine. I love this. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. I love this. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Man, just take a deep breath. You read that passage, and you're just like, that Jesus is just going, that's what I want for you. It's interesting to me that Jesus never, as we look at our passage of Scripture today, you see this heart coming into this passage really very clearly, because Jesus doesn't want walking with God to be burdensome. He wants it to be life-giving. So look at our passage of our text today from Mark chapter 2, if you would, verse 23. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. Oftentimes, there would be paths through the fields leading from one destination to another. That's what's going on here. And the Pharisees were saying to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Because religion cares, right? Religion cares about rules. God cares about people. And the Pharisees were concerned about keeping the rules that they had implemented upon the individuals way beyond what God had given them in the Ten Commandments. In fact, the Talmud, which is a book for the Jews, a religious book for the Jews, took the Ten Commandments and multiplied it exponentially to over 600 laws to try to fulfill just the Ten Commandments, right? It's interesting to me as these disciples and Jesus are walking through the field. Jesus never told them not to eat the grain, and nor did he tell them to stop eating the grain. Verse 25, and he said to them, have you never read what David did? When he was in need and was hungry, he's referring to 1 Samuel, out of 1 Samuel. And he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which was the showbread. There was 12 pieces of bread representing the 12 tribes of Israel there in the temple. The bread would be exchanged out each week. They would bring in seven new loaves. The priest would be able to eat that, which is not lawful for anyone but the priest to eat. And also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was not made for man, but, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. For the Son of Man is the Lord, even of the Sabbath. Our key verse for this morning is verse 27. I like how the New Living translation puts it. Then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. Key thought this morning is God cares more about the needs of people than rules. Okay, and as we read this next portion, we will see Jesus wants people to be whole. Isn't that awesome? He wants, doesn't matter what your background is, it doesn't matter the needs that you have, they're not too great for Jesus. Jesus wants you to be whole. So whether it's an ethnic issue or financial issue or a physical issue, Jesus' desire is for wholeness. Look at it, verse 1 of chapter 3. Again, he entered the synagogue and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, because that would have been considered work to them. You can't do that. And so that might arouse, they may accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, come here. How many know? I think sometimes Jesus gets a little ornery. Do any of you ever get ornery? Right? I think Jesus gets a little ornery right here, and he's like, okay, I know what they're up to. I know the motive of their heart. Hey, come here. You have a need. Come here. And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to harm, to save life or to kill? But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger. Why? Why was he upset? Because they didn't care about people. Grieved at their hardness of heart, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out. Check this out. They went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. Wow. There's a lot that we could say about the Sabbath this morning, but there's just one simple truth that I want us to walk away with this morning, and it's verse 27. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. How many know God gives gifts? All kinds of gifts he gives us, right? And as we look at today, we're going to see another gift, and the gift is the Sabbath. That one day in seven, you need to rest. God gives us this command because he's doing it for our good. Think about this, all right? When did God implement the Ten Commandments? He implemented the Ten Commandments after bringing out the Israelites from years of captivity, right? In fact, over 400 years of captivity they spent in Egypt. And in that time of captivity, they were slaves. They were working 24/7. They were doing machines. Living meant working and performing tasks day after day after day under the grind of their taskmasters. Now, let me ask you a question. Does that sound familiar maybe to you? That your Monday runs into your Monday, that runs into the next Monday, and it's just a grind sometimes. God calls them out of captivity, and what does he empower them to do? Think about it. You know what he does? He empowers them to rest. Peter Scazzaro, who's a pastor on the East Coast, wrote a book called Emotional Healthy Spirituality, said this, Sabbath provides for us now an additional rhythm for an entire reorientation of our lives around living of our lives around the living God. On Sabbath, we imitate God by stopping our work and resting. How many know the Ten Commandments that God gives us aren't given to be a box, to box you in or to make you miserable? They are given because if you don't do them, if we don't do them, your life is diminished and so are the lives of people around you. God says, one day in seven, this is what I want you to do, man. I want you to rest. I want you to breathe. I want you to stop. I want you to pause. Because what happens when we don't do that? You know what will happen? We'll stop worshiping. Our worship is interrupted. So Sabbath is designed as a day of worship. And when we go and we go and we go and we work and we work and we work, life becomes deadlines and responsibilities and calendars. It becomes a grind. And what happens when that happens? You know, we lose our joy, don't we? Have you ever had that encounter? Have you ever had that experience where it's just like deadline, 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 and all of a sudden you're just like, man, you're just like clenching the steering wheel, right? And you're just like, get out of my way. I got things to do. We lose our perspective. Donald Trump, before he was the president of the United States, was asked in an interview about his failed marriages. And he replied to that question this way, I was working all the time. And when you work all the time, it's hard to sustain relationships. It's true, isn't it? Relationships take work. if we never stop, or if we justify our go because it's for the kids, or it's because it's for the family, or it's because it's for the dream, I hate to break it to us, but when we fall into that trap, we lose. People lose their health, they lose their families, they lose their homes, they lose their peace, they lose their perspective. And yes, we are to work, but we are to Sabbath too. I think one of the blessings of this season that we've been in, this COVID season, and regardless of what your feeling is about it, I think one of the blessings of it, because how many know you need to count your blessings in every situation of life, in every season of life, true? You just need to stop and pause and go, okay, God, what can I glean and how can I worship you through this deal? So I think one of the blessings of this COVID season that we've been in and been through is that it forced people to change their pace. And we're able to reflect on what is really life-giving to them. Because here's the truth. It's not, will you Sabbath? It's what kind of Sabbath will you have? Will you have a happy Sabbath, or will you have an unhappy Sabbath? Well, Steve, what's an unhappy Sabbath? An unhappy Sabbath would be a Sabbath that is forced upon you because you've worked, and you ran your health down to a point where you're broken and you're sick and you don't have anything other to do than to just lay in a bed because you're sick. That's an unhappy Sabbath. We don't want that. We want a happy Sabbath. And so the reality is God has given us the Sabbath, and how many know it's powerful? It's renewing, and it's a recreative principle and pattern that he wants in our life because he loves us. And so the biblical context this morning, as we look at Matthew 2, takes us back to Genesis chapter 2, or excuse me, as we look at Mark 2, takes us back to Genesis 2, where we find the first Sabbath laid out in the pages of Scripture. The Sabbath was the final day of creation. Look at it in verse 2 of Genesis 2. On the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested. He Shabbat is the Hebrew word. On the seventh day, from all his work that he had done. And as you read through the Genesis account, all right, each day is marked this way. There was evening, and then there was morning. It states the activity of the day. There was evening, and there was morning. And I think there's a rhythm that's really refreshing if we pause and we think about it. Because in our Western culture, we look at our day a lot different. When does our day begin? Well, we say, well, it's 12 a.m. That's when the new day begins, right? But really, in our mindset, the day begins when? When the sun rises, your alarm goes off, you roll out of bed, and you think, and you say, oh, dear Lord, it's another day. Help me, right? Jesus, come quickly. I'm tired, right? And we think it's when the sun comes up, alarm goes off, and our day starts. But I want to challenge you, and I want to kind of hopefully give you a new way to look at your day. Because in God's economy, it's different. And it's worth pondering for us. I'm not advocating that we, you know, redo our calendar or anything like that this morning, but I just want you to ponder this and maybe spiritually, hopefully, embrace it. On God's calendar, on God's schedule, the day starts at sundown. What would that look like? When you think about your day right now, your day is winding down, and I know the days are, the light, it's longer, you know, it goes into, man, 9 o'clock, 9:30 before it's dark out or whatever it is outside, but as the sun is setting, and you come in from your day, what do? You sit down and you eat. You have a meal, right? So think about this in God's economy in light of Genesis chapter 2. The day starts then with dinner, doesn't it? It's like, God's like, hey, I want you to come to my table. I want you to eat. I want to fellowship with you. I want to have discourse with you. I want us to enjoy a meal together. I mean, let's have some barbecue. Let's order some pizza or something, right? Let's get the walk out and stir up some vegetable stir fry because I want to have a meal with you. And so you have that time, and then what happens next? It's like God, in light of Genesis 2, it's like God says, hey, you know what I want you to do now? You just had a really good meal. That was really good, right? Mm-hmm, that was good stuff. God says, you know what I want you to do now? I want you to go to bed. I want you to go get some rest. You need some rest. You need to go to sleep. And so you're like, all right, that's a good idea. You go to bed. And in the morning, in light of Genesis 2, in light of Genesis 3, it's like God wakes you up. Hey, psst, it's time for a new day. It's time to wake up. Let's go. But before we do anything else, let's go for a walk. Because in Genesis 3, what do we read, right? Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden in the cool of the day. So, man, we've had a meal together. Then we went to bed. Then now God's woken us up, and it's like, hey, let's go spend some time in the garden, in the cool of the day, hanging out, fellowshipping, getting ready for our day. And then, because I have something for you, I want you to go to work. I have some projects that I need you to do. You have some giftings that you need to implement. When, in light of that, do you feel the rhythm in that? That ebb and flow, really an ebb and flow of grace through that, that there's this meal, there's this rest, there's this walk, and then there's this work. In the rhythm of grace, think about this. We go to sleep, and without asking or without needing our help, God goes to work. And he puts us to sleep, so we stay out of his way, perhaps. How many of you parents were like, man, I couldn't wait for my kid to take a nap in the morning, right, or in the afternoon, because that gave me some time. I could get some things done, and I was like, I hope Johnny sleeps like 5 hours this afternoon so I can get some things done, right? Or it's nighttime, you're like, man, I just can't wait for the kid to go to bed. I can get some things done. God's working while we're sleeping. Proverbs tells us that the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. God is working and going before you. Before your day begins. Let me remind you of that. You don't need to lay awake worrying at night because God is working and he's preparing. Understand, the Sabbath isn't a legalistic principle, all right? It's not a law that says you have to. It's a grace principle that God established to bring beginning, from the very beginning of time, God established it. So let me ask you, let's answer this question. Why should we Sabbath? Why should we pause? Why should we rest? I have bills to pay. I got things to do. I got deadlines to meet, right? Why should I do that? Number one, the Sabbath is for praise. Look at it in verse 31 of Genesis 1. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. God rested not because he was tired, man. That was like, oh, man, I'm spent. That's not why he rested. He rested because he was delighting in what he created. Have you ever done that? Have you ever made something? Maybe you're mechanically inclined, or you can do some carpentry stuff, or you're good in the kitchen and you can bake up some stuff or cook up some stuff. And have you ever just like rested from, you step back from a project that you were doing and you're just like, I did well on that. I did good. That felt good. Look at everyone come in here and look what I did. Isn't that awesome? Have you ever done that? I have. I'm just like, check out what I did, Robin's like, yeah, you cleaned up the puddle on the floor. Good job. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't that bad. But it's like God just said, whoa, stop. Look, this is awesome. He's delighting in creation. God doesn't stop because he's tired. He stops to delight in his creation. Man, I just want to admonish us. I want to encourage us with that. Let's be a people who celebrate. Make sure as you walk through this Sabbath day, if Sunday is your Sabbath day, that part of that day is to pause and to look back over your shoulder and find things to celebrate in this last week. Sometimes it's really difficult. Sometimes it's really easy. But be people who celebrate. Secondly, be people who pause and give thanks. He just doesn't do that. God just doesn't stop on day 7 to pause. On day 3, he does it twice. In Genesis 3:10, he paused in the middle of the day and said, "Whoa, man, this is really, really good." And then he does it again later in the day. How does this day relate to us? How does this thought relate to us? To look back and say, "God, you're amazing. Thank you. I praise you for helping me through this week. I praise you for helping me through this moment. Though I don't understand it, though I've never been in a situation like this before, perhaps, thank you that I know that you're working, that you're going before me, and you want me to rest in you." Second reason for Sabbath is the Sabbath is pattern. It is copying God's pattern that he set out. The Apostle Paul tells us this in the New Testament, right? He tells us to be imitators of God. God has set a pattern for us on how to do life. You believe that? Man, I do. Because I look back at when I was trying to do my life my way, and sometimes I still do try to do life my way. But when I do that, man, it gets really messy really quick. But when I live according to God's patterns, man, it's different. Look at it. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 says this: "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. It's for us, it's unto the Lord, and on it you shall not do any work." It goes on into this list of who shouldn't do the work. And then it says, "Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy." God took this day and he set it apart. He said, "This day is special. This day is different than any of the other days in the week. This is a good day." God did that not because he needed a break, all right? Again. But because he wanted to show us how to maximize your enjoyment in life. How do you do life in a way that helps you connect with him and recognize his creative workings in your life? You know what we have to do? We have to pause and we have to worship. One of the things I love is I love looking at just at practical applications of principles like this lived out in life. And I can't help, when I think about Sabbath, I can't help but think about Chick-fil-A. Right? I mean, it makes me mad, honestly, just true confession from your pastor. It makes me mad that they're not open on Sunday sometimes because I want some Chick-fil-A, right? But they Sabbath, they don't open on Sundays to honor the Sabbath, and it's amazing to me in doing that, yet they short themselves 1 day a week. They're the second highest grossing fast food restaurant globally. They do in 6 days what all the others fast food restaurants can't do in 7. But McDonald's, that's because they're everywhere. But the Sabbath is about you not picking up the load. It's about you resting and learn from the Lord. Look at what he did in 6 days. God is saying, look what I've done in 6 days. Learn from me and then practice what I've done. Take hold of that and learn from that. You know, the whole principle, really, for me, it reminds me of the principle of tithing. That God says, listen, tithe 10% of your income, Steve, to me. And in that, that's worship. That's your first fruits. That's your first act of one way for you to worship me. So do that, and I will show you that I can do more with the remaining 90% than you can do if you take all the 100%. It's amazing to me, over and over and over again, I've seen that principle played out in our life, but also in the lives of hundreds of others, thousands of people that we know. When we walk by faith, there's a spiritual power and spiritual realities that come into play in your life, and it's so fun to see. And you can do more in 6 days with God's power working through you than you can do on your own in 7. True? True. Number 3. The Sabbath is for play. It isn't about going to the lake every Sunday, though there's nothing wrong if you take a Sunday and go to the lake, but just don't do it every Sunday or we're going to go to the lake and find you. Okay? Right? Just kidding. Or if you go to a ball field to watch a game or whatever. But Solomon put it this way in Ecclesiastes, okay? "Vanity of vanities, And then he goes on to talk about what are all these vanities? What's all this emptiness about? And he talks about the person who gets all kinds of things. They accumulate all this stuff that they're pursuing in life, but they're never able to enjoy it. It makes me think, one of my sisters, she lives out in Colorado, that's where I grew up, and her and her husband lived up in Evergreen, which is like right in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, right above Denver, and it's a beautiful, beautiful community and beautiful homes in this neighborhood, and it just, we'd go up and visit, stay a few nights, and sit out on the deck at night and overlook this neighborhood, we just began to realize, you know, after several visits, man, these are beautiful homes, but no one's ever home. And I was like, Kim, do you have neighbors that live here like year round? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, there's never lights on. Whenever we're here, there's like no lights on ever. And then it just began it struck me how sad it is when we have to work, and we're not able to enjoy that which is around us, because we're working so hard so we can get that. We aren't designed to go. When we do that, guess what? We become a machine. And machines don't do life, they just run, don't they? And God says, man, I want to give to you life, and life, abundant life, both eternal, but life in the here and now as well. So let me ask you a quick question as we transition to step back into a time of worship. How quick can you name 5 blessings in your life? How quick can you just like, man, boom, 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 boom. Part of Sabbath, I think, enables us, when we're asked a question like that, man, we're able to rattle off things really, really quick in our life. Some of them may be like really small or, you know, not like grandiose. Other things are like going to be incredible. But all of them are significant. And then another question, how frustrated are you with life right now? And if you're frustrated, and I realize we can be frustrated for a lot of different reasons, but is it because perhaps all you do is work? And you don't pause to worship. So let me give you some closing steps on what to do, and if the worship team would come. I just want to submit these to you. How do you respond to a message like this, Steve? What are my takeaways? What are some things that I can do? First thing that I would encourage you to do is that we stop. Embrace your limits. In that, understand that, you know what? I wasn't created to keep this pace that I'm living right now. I wasn't created to do such a grind as this. And you stop, and you do what the psalmist exhorted us, to be still and to know that you are God. God, I'm going to step back, I'm going to stop, and I want you to remind me, I want you to just reveal yourself to me. I'm going to be still before you because I need to know that you are God. Secondly, is that we rest. Do what delights, do what replenishes you. In doing so, we live the principle that God made the Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. That he stepped back and said, whoa, man, look, this is good. He enjoyed it. And we can get so busy living and doing that we don't enjoy that which is before us. Number 3 is that we delight. Delight in his creation. Delight in him. William Blake, who is a poet, said this, to see a world in a grain of sand and a heaven in a wildflower. To be able to take the simple things and let simple things even become incredible moments of worship. To look at, you know, a flower, to look at something that may seem so trite, but yet suddenly you're enveloped with the presence of God in a holy moment. Number four is that we contemplate, that we reflect on God. And we need to do that. We need to reflect. That's part of the beauty of the Sabbath. Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your grace. God, I thank you for the rhythm of your grace. Lord, that you've prepared a place for us, even in the presence of our enemies. God, that you have prepared a table for us because you want to be with us. And Lord, though there's so many things going on in our world right now, God, in the middle of that, you want to meet with us. You want us to make sure that we reorient our life not around the stuff that's going on, not around our schedules, not around the tasks or the responsibilities, but to make sure that we're organizing our life around you. And so, Lord, you made day seven, the Sabbath. And you rested, and you invite us to do as you did. So, Lord, I pray for freedom for every one of us in this place to know that God is calling us, God is inviting us, God is saying, hey, come unto me. I want you to be in my presence on this day, one day a week. I mean, I want to be with you all the time, but we made this day a day for you just to rest because you need that. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that's not made you Lord and Savior of their life, they've not stepped into what it means to have a relationship with you, a relationship that flows out of the rhythm of your grace, not out of performance, not out of how much good stuff can I do and then I'll be all right with God, but just is solely based on our dependence and our need for you. And Jesus, I thank you that you came and you bore our sins upon the cross. And 3 days later, you rose from the dead, triumphing over death, hell, and the grave. And you did it so that we can have life, eternal life, that we can be in relationship with Almighty God, because our sin was separating us, and all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if there's anyone here this morning, anyone watching online, that they need to say, I need Jesus in my life. I need to let Jesus be the Lord and Savior of my life. I pray that they would do that right now, that they would just publicly acknowledge that. And Lord, that they would lean into you and they would know your peace, that they would know your freedom. Lord, may they just simply ask you, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Be the Lord and Savior of my life and show me how you want me to live my life so that I can bring you glory, that I can walk in the fullness of all that you have for me, and so that I can tell your story to others, how you rescued me and changed me. In Jesus' name.
Everybody dance. Everybody, this concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on LifePoint Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.